From Capital Public Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Pamela Wu, in for Beth Ruyak. We are just about 18 months away from the 2020 general election, a presidential election. Former Vice President Joe Biden has finally announced he'll jump into the contest to become the Democratic nominee. He faces a very crowded field, including Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, Kamala Harris, Cory Booker, Julian Castro, and many more. Biden has a clear lead in early polls, but there are questions about how he can forge a path to the nomination. And as any political watcher knows, a lot can happen in the months before the primaries. That includes political junkie Ken Rudin, who joins us live. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning, Pamela. I was afraid you were going to list all the candidates running and you would give me no more time to talk.
So yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure we have enough time to do that. You know, right. Well, with President Trump in the White House, many Democrats are longing for the previous administration of Barack Obama and Joe Biden, thinking of them as the good old days. How could this help or hurt Biden?
Well, I mean, certainly if you want to associate yourself with Barack Obama, that is a good thing, given the fact that there is a nostalgia among Democrats. The fact that you had a Democrat winning two terms in a row, and that seems like a million years ago, especially if you're not fond of Donald Trump. But more importantly, look, Joe Biden is not Barack Obama. Yes, he was his loyal vice president for 8 years, but at the same time, Joe Biden is 76 years old. He has a long history in the Senate, 36 years. And during those 36 years, he had positions that are not representative of the Democratic Party today on abortion, on busing, on crime. He was a sponsor of a pretty draconian 1994 crime bill that left many civil libertarians and African Americans upset. And of course, we do remember his handling as chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee in 1991. Of the Anita Hill Clarence Thomas hearings, how the committee treated Anita Hill. Biden has not apologized to her. He says, "I regret the way she was treated." But I mean, for goodness sakes, he was the chairman of the committee. So there are a lot of things going on with Joe Biden, plus the fact, one thing which he has nothing to do with, control over, is that he's 76 years old and the party not only is no longer as white as it was and male as it was, but it's certainly not as old as it was.
And we'll talk more about the Anita Hill matter in just a moment, including hearing from Biden in his own words. But right now, let's take a listen to his announcement in which Biden referenced the events in Charlottesville and the president's response to them.
And that's when we heard the words of the President of the United States that stunned the world and shocked the conscience of this nation. He said there were, quote, some very fine people on both sides. Very fine people on both sides? With those words, the President of the United States assigned a moral equivalence between those spreading hate and those with the courage to stand against it.
That was a clip from former Vice President Joe Biden's announcement that he's planning to run for president. Ken, your thoughts?
Well, it was interesting because it seems like most of the Democratic candidates, most of the other 19, seem to do everything they can to eschew talk of Donald Trump. They want to talk about job creation and taxes and welfare inequality, issues like that. Joe Biden took on Donald Trump head on and talked about him throughout the most of his video. I thought it was a very impressive video, a good argument for why Donald Trump needs to be beaten if you're a Democrat. But at the same time, he didn't have the kind of positions, you know, the positions that like Elizabeth Warren or Kamala Harris or Bernie Sanders would have, you know, reasons why they should be elected. Basically, Joe Biden's biggest argument is that I can beat Donald Trump in 2020. So the Democrats have this question. Do they pick somebody who may be ideological closer to them, may have more of the positions that they share, or is the anger towards Donald Trump so severe and so unrelenting that maybe they need to go with a definite winner? Now, the problem is there's no guarantee that Joe Biden is the guaranteed winner. We will see what the Democratic field looks like basically 2 months from today when the Democrats have their first debate at the end of June. And we'll see who the real candidates are and who the the ones who may not last long in this process.
Now, you cited the number 20 and earlier joked that, you know, we didn't have time to name everyone who's vying for the Democratic nomination. Are we up to 20 or 21, depending on how you count Bernie Sanders? Because I've heard both.
Oh, no, it's 20, definitely including Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders, of course, is not a member of the Democratic Party, but he is a candidate for the Democratic presidential nomination. It is at 20. I think Seth Moulton, who everybody knows who Seth Moulton is.
Oh, everyone.
I'm kidding, of course. Exactly. It flows off your lips. But, I mean, he was number 19. He's a congressman from Massachusetts. So there are a lot of people nobody ever heard of, and the list may not complete. There's some talk about Michael Bennett, the senator from Colorado, Steve Bullock, the governor of Montana. That's a beaut. But I mean, the thing is that we may not even have the end of the list of candidates. But right now, the field is it's larger than ever before in history. And again, one way of looking at Joe Biden is that maybe he's leading in some of the polls or a lot of the polls. But some Democrats feel that the only where he can go is down, whereas other candidates who are far lesser known may have an opportunity to shine. Again, a lot has to do with what happens in the debates at the end of June.
Well, there are, you talked about the diversity within the party, the sort of diversity of approach to the issues. There are centrists and compromisers and others who are sort of pulling the party hard to the left. And then there are your established elected leaders and others who are newcomers. Who needs to do what to stand out from the pack?
Well, of course, first of all, they have to get in the debates. And to do that, you need to have an average of 1% in top polls and have 65,000 individual contributors. Now, 1% in the polls doesn't sound like a lot, but when you have 20 candidates, that may be, tough, like Julian Castro, who was the former mayor of San Antonio and Obama cabinet member. He is struggling to get known because he just seems to be usurped by so many other candidates who got in the race. So there's exciting candidates. There's Pete Buttigieg, who supplanted Beto O'Rourke as the flavor of the month. It's just so funny how we all seem to have new favorites and they fall by the wayside. Like a kid during Christmas, he opens one present and then immediately goes to the next present, because there's something new and shiny in the room. So there are a lot of choices. There are a lot of genders. Pete Buttigieg would be the first openly gay president, which is, aside from being a Rhodes Scholar and the mayor of South Bend, Indiana, and an army veteran in Afghanistan, he's openly gay, and that attracts a lot of people, certainly attracts a lot of attention. And you have Kamala Harris, an African-American woman, and you have, Cory Booker, African-American senator from New Jersey. So there's a lot of varieties, almost different flavors of the month. But again, the question seems to be a lot of people, who could beat Donald Trump? Maybe it's Joe Biden. But again, this is only April of 2019. We, as you said in your introduction, we have a long way to go before the Iowa caucus and the New Hampshire primary and the Nevada caucus and those early contests and the California primary on March 3rd.
I'm joined by political junkie Ken Rudin. We're talking about Joe Biden's announcement that he's joining the very crowded field of Democratic presidential hopefuls. Biden's first interview after his announcement has already sparked controversy. He publicly expressed regret over how he handled Anita Hill's testimony at the Clarence Thomas Supreme Court confirmation hearings in 1991. But Professor Hill said that his private phone call to her a few weeks ago fell short of a full apology. Here's a clip of Biden discussing the matter on the TV show The View.
I am sorry she was treated the way she was treated. I wish we could have figured out a better way to get this thing done. I did everything in my power to do what I thought was within the rules to be able to stop things. But look, take a look at what's happened. What I did when we got through that god-awful experience she'd been through, she's one of the reasons why we have the Me Too movement. She's one of the reasons why I was able to finish writing the Violence Against Women Act.
Ken Rudin, how significant is this matter going to be in the race?
I think it is significant. Amy Klobuchar and other Democrats have said that Joe Biden, is going to have to address this more than he has. And I think she and the others are right. It's one thing to say, I'm sorry she was treated that way. It's another, as Anita Hill said, it's another to apologize. He has not apologized. I mean, yes, you can say it was 1991 and things were different then. And Clarence Thomas was an African-American being nominated for the Supreme Court. And there was that, too. But the fact is, we've learned since then, or at least we focused since then, that there were several women who wanted to testify, wrote to Joe Biden and the committee saying that I can back up Anita Hill's testimony, that Clarence Thomas did X, Y, or Z to me, and I want to testify. And Joe Biden kept that from happening. So, you know, you could say, I'm sorry she was mistreated, or Anita Hill wasn't treated the right way. But there's still a lot of questions that have not been sufficiently answered, certainly not to Anita Hill.
You know, in 2016, as we all know, and we discussed this back then, Donald Trump faced much more serious allegations about his treatment of women, including that famous Access Hollywood audio tape of him talking about grabbing women by their genitals. What does this say about how the issue of, say, women's bodily agency and treatment of women plays differently with different voters, and how the issue plays out if it's Trump versus Biden in the general election?
But this is what's so remarkable about this whole thing. I mean, when all those stories were going around about Joe Biden massaging women's shoulders and kissing their hair, as Lucia Flores of Nevada talked about a few weeks ago, Donald Trump mocked Joe Biden. He mocked him for doing this. The thought of Donald Trump mocking anybody about the way they treat women is just unbelievable gall, but this is exactly what Donald Trump does. I mean, and Donald Trump criticized Joe Biden. He says he's 76 years old. I mean, first of all, it's remarkable that the top two Democrats leading the polls are Joe Biden, who's 76, and Bernie Sanders, who's 77, which is another story altogether. But the fact that Donald Trump will criticize and mock Joe Biden for his age and mock him for how he treats women, given his own record, is it just makes 2020 likely to be the most surreal election, certainly the most surreal election since 2016.
Since the last one.
Exactly. Going all the way back to 2016.
Way back.
Right.
Let's move on and talk about something that's the talk of Washington this week, the Mueller report. There are congressional hearings set for Wednesday and Thursday, but there's a chance that Attorney General Bill Barr might not attend. What's the latest?
Well, the latest is he's invited to testify before the Senate Judiciary Committee on Wednesday. And of course, he's not going to receive a hostile welcome because it's a Republican ruled committee. But then comes the House Judiciary Committee on Thursday. And Bill Barr is basically balking at the thought that Jerry Nadler, who's the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, says that, yes, the members of Congress will spend their 5 minutes asking questions, as they always do, but Nadler wants committee attorneys to also question Barr in depth, and Barr doesn't like that at all. He feels that committee attorneys probably are smarter than members of Congress who would love to get their 30 seconds of fame on national TV, and he doesn't want to be subjected to that. Of course, we did have a Republican Republican attorney questioning Christine Blasey Ford during the Kavanaugh hearings. So I don't know why the administration is so upset about this fact, but it's a strong possibility that Barr will not testify. And this is a pattern with the Trump administration. They won't let the person who was involved in security clearances testify. They won't allow Don McGahn, the former White House counsel, talk about things that he knew about, regarding part of the Mueller investigation. So the Trump administration, led by Bill Barr, but others as well, they're doing everything they can to block testimony by these members, and they're ignoring subpoenas to testify, and they're doing all these things, and basically they feel, what do we have to lose? We'll just go to the courts and drag this out as long as we can. And of course, the longer we drag it out, the closer we are to 2020. But it's really unprecedented to see a congressional committees plural ask for documents, issue subpoenas and see them absolutely ignored by the White House. Even during Nixon, during Watergate, there were subpoenas to testify and subpoenas for documents. And ultimately, the tapes did go to the Supreme Court, which ruled in against Nixon's favor. But I've never seen an administration just refuse all these requests from committees.
Well, we'll see what happens. We have much more political coverage at our website, capradio.org/insight. Political junkie Ken Rudin, always a pleasure. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Pamela. Next week, 40 candidates will be in the race, I predict.
Grows exponentially. Thank you, Ken.
Thank you.
You are listening to Insight on your NPR station, Capital Public Radio.